This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Доброго вечора. Good evening. Today is 24th February, a date that for Ukrainians around the world is no longer just a day on the calendar. It's a line that divides life into before and after. 4 years ago, in the early hours of the morning, millions of people woke up to the sound of explosions, and nothing has been the same since. 24th February. 4 years. Today marks 4 years since Russia launched its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and 12 years since Russia first invaded Ukraine and began its war on Ukrainian territory in 2014. On 24th February 2022, missiles hit Kyiv, Kharkiv, Odessa, Mariupol, and many other cities. What some still mistakenly or under the influence of Russian propaganda referred to as a crisis became the largest war in Europe since the Second World War. 4 years later, the war is still ongoing. Over these 4 years, hundreds of thousands of people have been killed or wounded. Many thousands of civilians have been killed, and civilian casualties continue to be reported daily. Entire cities have been largely destroyed. Mariupol. In the spring of 2022, the city was almost completely destroyed during the siege. Thousands of civilians were killed. The drama theater in Mariupol was deliberately bombed by Russian forces. The word children was written in large letters outside the building, clearly visible from the air. At the time, hundreds of civilians, including mothers and children, were sheltering inside. According to Ukrainian authorities, hundreds of people were killed in that attack. Most residential districts were reduced to ruins. Avdiivka. After heavy fighting, the city was largely destroyed. Residential neighborhoods were reduced to rubble. Volnovakha. A significant part of the city was destroyed in 2022. Popasna. The city was almost completely destroyed as a result of prolonged artillery battles. Millions of Ukrainians have been displaced inside the country. More than 6 million people have fled abroad. Energy infrastructure has been systematically targeted. Hospitals, schools, residential buildings have been struck. Mass graves, torture rooms have been discovered in liberated territories. Thousands of Ukrainian children have been forcibly deported from occupied areas. International human rights organizations have documented torture, unlawful detentions, filtration camps, and the suppression of Ukrainian language and identity in occupied regions. This is not random and not accidental. It is a deliberate war of aggression against a sovereign nation. Russia is once again committing genocide against Ukrainians. And yet, there are people who continue to live, work, volunteer, rebuild, and resist. There are soldiers defending their country. There are teachers holding classes in bomb shelters. There are families who refuse to give up their homes. There is a society that refuses to disappear. 4 years later, Ukraine still stands. And it is a reminder that the war has not ended, even if the headlines have become quieter. Please remember that there is still war in Ukraine and Ukrainians need your help. This war is not only about Ukraine defending itself against Russia, the aggressor state. It is a war about democracy, about freedom, about sovereignty, about the right of a nation to choose its own future, about the idea of a civilized international order. To turn away from this war is to accept that force can replace law, that anyone with enough weapons can take what they want, a piece of another country, the life of another person, and face no consequences. If that becomes normal, the entire global order is at risk. The principles carefully built after the Second World War, international law, territorial integrity, human rights, become meaningless, because today in the center of Europe, civilians are being killed, not by accident, but as part of a war that seeks to erase a nation's right to exist as itself. Ukrainians are being attacked not only for territory, but for speaking their language, for choosing independence, for preserving their culture and traditions. Do not forget this. Choose the side of light. Choose justice. Today we are speaking with Yevgeny Kolisnik, the newly elected chair of the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand, Southern Regions. At a time when Ukraine continues to fight for its survival, the role of Ukrainian communities abroad becomes even more important. Diaspora organizations are not only about culture and connection. They are also about advocacy, support and responsibility. So, Yevgeny, welcome. And as always, we will start with the traditional first question. Can you briefly tell us who you are, when you came to New Zealand, why you chose New Zealand, what you do here, and what you're currently focusing on in your life?
My name is Yevgeny. I'm 32 years old. Came to New Zealand about seven and a half years ago. I moved from Australia, where I was for another year as well. I traveled to New Zealand on exchange visa, but after a year I decided to stay and changed work visa, and now I'm a permanent resident of New Zealand. I'm working in horticulture as a manager. I'm passionate about the plants, got a master's degree in horticulture as well, so that's what I do for most of my life, more than 10 years, I guess. Initially, I moved to Tauranga, where I spent almost 7 years, and moved to Christchurch a year ago.
Why New Zealand?
Yeah, it's a good question. I never considered to move here in the first place, but because I was in Australia, one of my friends lived here, and he invited me to visit New Zealand. Yeah, I said, why not, since I'm here, this part of the world. And after a year being here, I decided it's a place to be.
Do you like New Zealand?
Yeah, I love New Zealand. Just the people, the nature, yeah, just quite distant from everything else. So it's a good place to live.
As I understand, you haven't been to Ukraine for a long time. How do you stay connected, and how did you become involved in the Ukrainian community in New Zealand?
Yeah, so me not being in Ukraine for such a long time, I still have a family and friends. I always keep connected, always keep an eye on what's happening. And I guess after 2022, when full-scale war started, everyone just tried to be helpful for Ukraine, and same as me. So I always try to be a part of the community in North Island. And any type of event happening, I always try to be a part of it. But after 2022, I just want to be more helpful to help more people who need it in Ukraine, for the our military, for people who are affected by war. So we try from small things like a fundraiser, just sharing posts, let everyone know what's actually happening in New Zealand, because many people doesn't know what's actually going on. It was on the TV for some time, but after a while it's became a little bit more quiet, I guess. And then I thought, I need to share what's actually happening. It's not finished. It's still full on. People get affected every day, people dying. So yeah, it was my responsibility to bring that message, but also raise some funds to help. So we did a couple Bake for Ukraine fundraising in Hamilton, in Tauranga as well. Take a part of a couple meetings in Auckland. Each time when something big coming, I'll try to make it work.
Where are you from in Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm from a central part of Ukraine. It's a Cherkasy region, from a small village called Stimchenke. Yes, it's about 1,000 people.
Congratulations on being elected as chair. This is a very responsible role. Why did you decide to take on the role of chair?
I can say about myself, I've always been active part of the community. And then it was a question about who wants be involved more and organize, lead. I thought I have the skills and I have motivation to do so. So that's why I take a part. And yeah, I've been, I would say, chosen. Yeah, so.
What are your main priorities in this new role?
I guess my main priority is just get the community together as well. Probably the biggest one is just help Ukraine in many ways. Also the culture. Just connect community really through different aspects like the events, fundraiser, school, culture. Yeah.
Do you have a school here?
Yes, we do have school. It's a weekend school, just one day of the week. We have around six kids, different age groups. Hopefully we can involve more this year. School work independently. We have also events organized by the teacher. So we had St. Nicholas Day when the kids were involved in the, cultural activities.
You may have already partially answered the next question. What does the Ukrainian Association of New Zealand Southern Regions actually do on a day-to-day basis?
So it's a lot of back of the scene works. What I mean by that, it's a lot of admin, organizing, organizing events, planning the big project, organizing school, just communicating with the New Zealanders, with the Ukrainians, some newcomers who come from Ukraine as a refugee, if they need any support, we can seek from us and we help them wherever we can. We have a Facebook group and a website, so we have some information there, useful information for people. So it's up to date, keeping that information up to date as well.
Are there many Ukrainians in Christchurch?
I would say so. Altogether, I think it's about 2,000 Ukrainians in both islands. So our group, it's about 400 people. So I would say 200 to 300 people live in Christchurch, so yeah.
What area does organization cover?
It is a whole South Island. It's a Christchurch, pretty much all regions, yeah.
What do you think the Ukrainian community needs the most right now?
So the biggest problem right now is just to find funds for our shipment of the sea containers. So we have sent already 9 containers with different medical equipment, what actually can help people in Ukraine. So people donating a lot of stuff, which we pack. But to ship that container costs us around $10,000, which is a lot. Just finding those funds. One of the ways how we gather the funds is just making them bake for Ukraine. So we're selling Ukrainian dishes on the markets. Also share kai, where people can come and try Ukrainian food, hear the Ukrainian songs, and they pay for the tickets, obviously. And then, yeah.
How can our listeners help? Do you have a Give a Little page or other ways people can support you?
So we have a website, Ukrainian Association New Zealand Southern Regions, where you can find the links. You can send the money, and those money goes to the non-profitable organization. And yes, another way, just share the word about what's happening in Ukraine as well. It's far from ending. Even it's a lot of talks, but it's still full on. Also, if any events happening in Christchurch, Ukrainian community, be a part of it coming. Some people can help when we make Ukrainian dishes, or just coming to buy the tickets, try the food.
How does Ukrainian Association of New Zealand work with the wider New Zealand community and local organizations?
Yeah, so we work with the council very closely. We will take a part of a culture galore in Christchurch in March. So we work also with other organizations. We constantly looking for the funds for our school as well and for the Ukrainian community. So yeah, also quite few people contact me through emails, asking if I can help in any ways. So yeah, we just keep in contact with those people. And when people just come on the markets and start asking, we're interested in what's happening. We just have a chat. Also, from time to time, we organize this general gathering, like Ukrainian community gathering. So anyone who wants to come and join, more than welcome as well.
Do you work with other Ukrainian organizations? For example, Mahi for Ukraine or Ukrainian Association of New Zealand North?
Yes, we have we work together. So we share information. If we have any question or like we're organizing some movie nights of Ukrainian movies, so we share all that information together. Yeah, sometimes we gather together as well, so it's time when we can, but obviously because of the distance, it's not happen very often.
What has been the biggest challenge for you so far?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for me, it's time, combining professional life and personal life and the community life. It can be challenging at the time. That's sometimes it's require a lot of time and in the same time. And unfortunately, I'm limited in what I can do. But I do have a great team and a lot of very helpful people who helping me. And actually, the people were involved into the community life more than me in Christchurch, so we have a lot of experience. Also, the previous president, Renata, very helpful. So if I have any question, I can ask her anytime. So, yeah, but I think that's probably the biggest challenge for me.
Yes, community work always takes a lot of time. What would you like to change or improve compared to how things were done before?
I think it's only improving, just get people together, hearing their thoughts, their ideas. Find more links would get people together rather than keep them separate.
How can people stay connected?
I think through events, it could be sport events, it could be cultural events, it can be markets as well, like because different people, different age groups, so they have a different interest. So if we can find and get involved more people for different activities, that's better for community, that's for sure.
How do you deal with conflicts inside the community?
That's a tricky one. For me, I work as a manager in a big company, and then we have a bit of drama as well. Obviously, I work with the Kiwi rather than Ukrainians. Ukrainians different, so it's slightly different ways. But I'm trying to always be neutral, and I'm never listening to rumors, who she said, he said, kind of things. So I try to be helpful and just, as I said, try to find more things that connect people rather than split. So I'm new for the Christchurch community and for the city. So I haven't been involved with any things that actually get people separate. So, yeah.
Do you have strict no rules in your community?
It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because I know personally one couple where his husband is a Russian and girl is Ukrainian. So, but I know a lot quite few people know somebody who lost their loved ones or they lost a part of the family. So at the moment, we're not searching for connection with the Russians, because it's very sensitive, even if the Russian is good and they try to help. So right now it's only Ukrainian community saying that during the St. Nicholas Day, it was kids from different culture, not Russian, but from other culture who can speak Russian-speaking people. So I was a part of that, of that event. It was nice, but as I said, it's better to find links for connecting rather than separate people. So in my family, we also lost some relatives during the war. So it's sensitive for my family too. So I can understand and I can relate. Even the people who's here, who's Russian, they want to help and they're not involved in any way to the Russian war. It's not a good, not a best time for them to be a part of community. Saying that, I think people who want to help, we shouldn't reject that help.
Well, last question. It's not really a question. What would you like to say to the Ukrainian community in New Zealand, and not only to Ukrainians, but to others who are listening to you? What is your message?
I think we should stay together. Together we're strong. And whilst Russian invasion going on, I know everyone started because it's going for 4 years now. It can be difficult, but we're so fortunate to be here and stay away from the conflict. So I think if we can help in any ways to the people who's affecting, who live in Ukraine, we should. For the New Zealand, I would say, also we need to stay together. It's because New Zealand is a small country, so we rely on the partners, on the international law, and that's what happened in Ukraine. It's wrong. It's lawful. So Ukraine, like New Zealand, expect the partners and the bigger countries stay together and defend against the bigger enemy, who's Russians.
Thank you, Evgeny, for your time and for sharing your thoughts with us. And thank you to our listeners for staying with us tonight. Before we finish, I want to add something important. I want to talk about Ukrainians in New Zealand. We are not a large community here, but we are a remarkable one. Ukrainians are highly educated, skilled, resilient. Many of us hold multiple degrees. Many have built careers in different countries. Many have had to rebuild their lives from scratch and still continue to contribute, create and serve. So I want to start doing something new on this program. I would like to introduce you to specific Ukrainians living in New Zealand, real people who will tell you who they are, what they do, what skills they bring, and where you can find them. Because supporting Ukraine is not only about donations, it's also about conscious choices. If you need a service, a designer, a builder, a teacher, a photographer, a consultant, consider choosing a Ukrainian professional. And believe me, almost every Ukrainian you meet here is supporting Ukraine financially in one way or another. So when you support a Ukrainian business or Ukrainian, you are not only receiving a service, you are indirectly contributing to Ukraine's resilience and survival. Small choices matter, and community matters.
Hi, my name is Olga. I'm the mortgage lady. Everyone has a dream, whether it's owning your first house, upgrading to more space for a growing family, or finally getting that investment property you've been thinking about. My job is to help turn those dreams into reality. As your mortgage advisor, I bridge the gap between where you are now and where you want to be. I know that behind every mortgage application is a real person with real aspirations. Maybe it's creating memory in your own space, building security for your family, or taking that next step towards financial freedom. I take a vision and walk backwards from there. I work at a company and you can find me on Instagram by typing Olga the Mortgage Lady, or you can simply go to the website momentumpartners.co.nz and find any information you want to know about myself.
Thank you to our listeners for staying with us tonight, and may we all choose responsibility over silence. Slava Ukraini! Героям слава! Glory to Ukraine! Glory to heroes! Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.